Hey lovelies, you're welcome to yet another exciting episode of Conversations with Dora. I'm still your host, Dora, and on today's topic, we're going to discuss something that actually touches every single one of us in every single way. We're going to dive deep into something that is a bit heavy, but undeniably universal. So, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about mortality. I don't want to get us all scared and stuff, but yeah, we're going to come to some really, really positive conclusions together. So just stick with me and we're going to get through this. Yes, today we're talking about mortality. So let's dive into the podcast. Alright, welcome back. Like I said, we are talking about mortality. Now, first things first, what do we mean when we say mortality? You see, everyone, you, me, your family, your friends, every single human on this planet Earth, we are all mortals. Mortality is this undeniable truth that our time in the planet Earth, on this planet, is limited. It's the fact that we as human beings are subject to death. It's the certainty of uncertainty. Now, different cultures, different philosophies, they view this uniquely. Some see mortality as part of the natural cycle, while others approach it more reserved. Now, let's get personal for a moment. How has this awareness of mortality impacted my own life? So, mortality has actually made me cherish the small, seemingly insignificant moment. Like the realization that our time is finite, it's limited, gives this constant reminder to probably savor this present life you have. All of this is just to say we are all going to die at some point. So I feel like when I was little, I knew that I was going to die one day. My dad had this Bible, and the first thing you will see when you open this Bible is a very big Bible. He said, "I know I will leave this world soon, but don't cry for me when I go." And as a kid, I won't lie, anytime I read that, I always feel bad. I start crying, like, "Oh, my dad is going to die. My dad is going to die." Like, even in as much as I knew I was young and he was older than me, sometimes I feel like, oh, I still have more time. Maybe he's going to die before me, blah, blah, blah. I felt like my perspective then was kind of one-dimensional. Sometimes optimistic, sometimes pessimistic. I always felt like adults were constantly reminding me of, like, remember all the time when you were young and were like, oh, don't worry. You've not even gone anywhere. You're still in primary school. You're still in secondary school. You never see life. So I feel like others were constantly like reminding me how much time I had in my life to kind of like accomplish my dreams and probably make memories and make the most out of my life. So like the narrative I had when I was a child was like, oh, you have so much time. And I would just look at people who are older than me and think, oh God, I'm so far from that. It's probably never going to happen to me. I just did not really think about my own mortality to the extent of me getting scared that, oh, I'm going to die. Yeah, there were points where I know that death, I don't know, maybe probably that period when you ask me, oh, what are you scared of? What's your worst fear? At this point, some people may kind of like, oh, I'm scared of death. I'm scared of what will happen the next minute. Then my fear was, I'm scared of the dark. I'm scared of spiders. My mind did not really come to term that, oh, death. This is something, a very broad topic or something. But I think a part of maturing into an adult is coming to terms with the fact that, hey, you and me are going to die at a certain point. So we kind of like transition from this sort of youthful, optimistic view of death, mortality, to a very painfully realistic view of mortality when we actually realize we're going to die. Like, the people you love, they are going to die. Like, everyone you know is going to die at some point, at some time. Like, mortality seems just like a fancy word, because in some cultures, like I said, death is like a natural part of life cycle. Why in some others it's like a taboo to talk about it? And philosophically, you have everything from existentialist views to religious views, and sometimes thinking about this topic, it makes you appreciate the small moments. The idea that our time on earth is limited, it really pushes you to probably make the most of every day. There is this song about suicide. If you listen to the lyrics, it says, don't try suicide, it's not worth it. Don't try suicide, you have other things to still accomplish, and the rest, and the rest, and the rest. So sometimes that makes you, like, kind of like gives you this drive that, hey, I still have things to accomplish. It's funny that the awareness of our mortality can be both daunting and can also be like a source of inspiration for us. It's like it's real. We don't know when, we don't know how. It's literally real. I don't know how to put it, but death is real. And it's not this kind of like fuzzy cute feeling that we kind of like see in our future, that it will happen at some point, but we don't really need to think about it now because we're still young. Like, even as much as you're still young, like, it gets to the point you become an adult. And I feel like I kind of like just went through that realization recently, and it seriously rocked my world. Now, it sounds stupid because it sounds so obvious, like, you know, yeah, idiot, you're actually going to die, so what's so serious about that? But it feels real to me in a way that at this point in my life, it has been overwhelming for me. And I would say that I've been able to work my way through it and come to a place where I feel like I'm able to have this kind of like realistic view on mortality that is both mature and developed, in as much as I'm still trying to find ways to remind myself that, oh, it's okay. Like, I've kind of like found a way to balance it in my mind. But then a few years ago, I was really having a hard time, like getting anxious, scared, freaked out by, oh, death. Like, that whole thought actually consumed me. And so today I'm going to be talking about this kind of battle that we deal with mortality, death, and how to like come to terms with it, or how I've come to terms with it in a way, kind of like controlled it. So first things first, let's talk about our personal mortality, and then we'll talk about the mortality of the people around us. So first things first, our own mortality. I think one of the biggest fears that pops up in this topic is that, hey, we are running out of time. So recently I had this existential crisis because I started having this weird obsession, whether or not this weird obsession of whether I'm making most of my time, making the most of my time on this planet Earth, or maybe I'm not making it most of my time. Like, my concern was that, hey, I don't think I'm making memories. Am I making enough memories? Like, am I having enough fun? Am I just going to be on my deathbed looking back and like, hey, I wish I did this, I wish I did that, I wish I had this. Like, is that what I want to look back and remember? Is that all I have to offer? Like, is that all I'm doing? Like, am I just going to look back on my life and just remember that I was so focused on work? Am I just going to look back and realize that I had no memories with my friends? Am I really spending time with my friends? Am I going on enough adventures? Am I making memories? So that whole fear of every single thing, to try to combat this sort of fear that I am not actually making enough memories and all the thoughts I talked about, I kind of make this decision to like be more intentional with what I do with my time. In as much as it's not easy, I try to use discipline because it's in my control what I do with my time. Like I said, it's not easy because I can choose to say I want to spend about like 2-3 hours going through TikTok. I'm actually in control of that. In as much as it's a discipline I have. I'm disciplining myself to probably watch TikTok. Seems like I'm saying this and it sounds like a very nice thing to say. So I think becoming aware of the fact that you're in control of what you do with your time, it's the first step to sort of relieve this fear. Because if you want to spend less time on the internet, you can actually do that. And I think reminding myself that I'm in control, you know, I'm in control of you, TikTok. These things that I am sort of slightly addicted to, they don't own me. I am the one driving this boat. I can control if I want to replace these activities with other things. I am the one to make that decision. I think when you get to empower yourself and probably remind yourself that, hey, you have to make it a goal to kind of like replace these time-wasting activities with other things that can actually make you feel more in control, it can help eliminate your fear. But I would also say that there's nothing wrong in scrolling endlessly or mindlessly through TikTok and Instagram. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with all this stuff. Sometimes it's actually enjoyable. It's mindless. It can be stupid, but there's nothing wrong with that either, because nobody on this planet wants to spend their whole life doing things that are only valuable and memorable. Sometimes we want to do stupid things. Sometimes we want to do mindless things. It's normal. Because in this life, you try to find a balance. You can't just be all good all the time. Not like I'm saying you should be bad, but I'm sure you understand where I'm going to. So you have to make sure you're not allowing yourself too much time. Like too much. You have to like probably limit that time. Like try to hold yourself accountable, making sure you are not overdoing the mind wasting, the time wasting activities. But then you should also allow yourself a little bit of that. Like, it's impossible to fully participate in these activities when it's normal and you're in an age where TikTok, Instagram is so prominent, and when if you're not following it, it seems like you are being lost in the world. I mean, don't get me wrong, you can actually quit this thing. It's up to you. I don't know if you need to quit them though, because I don't think I'm actually going to quit them anytime soon. I mean, it's not a bad idea, you know, but I don't know. I don't think that's what you have to do to ensure like you're making the most out of your time. I don't think it's so necessary. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes it can be do some mindless things. Now, I'm not the one giving. I'm giving this advice to myself. You don't have to take it though. You don't have to make it so extreme, you know. Take control of your time. Remind yourself that, hey, my control is a very powerful mindset. And speaking of mindset, sometimes it seems like when you put this kind of pressure on yourself to make these special memories in quotes, it ruins the moment. The thing about making memories is that it happens on its own. You can't just predict when something wants to become fun and memorable. It's just going to happen if you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, it just comes to you. So I think another powerful mindset is like having this control. Like it's to kind of like reduce that kind of control and remember that don't make it a big deal to I have to have a memorable act, I have to have a memorable life, and you put all your effort in having the memory. It may not happen. See, it doesn't happen that way. You should not even try to force it. Like you don't plan out a memorable moment. It just happens. You don't just okay, in as much as you plan a proposal, like a guy planning a proposal to marry a girl, in as much as he has already pictured it in his head that, hey, this is how it's going to go, I'm going to get down on my knee, on one knee, say the question, baby, will you marry me, and all. But in as much as that, I don't know the outcome. I don't know if it's going to be memorable or not going to be memorable. Like, memorable in the sense that in years to come, you think about, hey, baby, remember our proposal, this, that, and you know. Like, anything that has anything that has the ability to make you feel good, anything that it's constructive, it's positive, and memories that comes with it, that is what you should be aiming for. Because anything that has a positive impact in your life is going to have the potential to make a very good memory. Let's say, for example, you learn how to do something on, let's say you join an art class on YouTube, and you decide, okay, I'm going to start drawing. I had a friend, and I was following her WhatsApp status. She was so determined. She had these 30 days of drawing, and I promise you, on the 30th day, this girl was already drawing like a pro. It might seem like a mundane sort of activity, but you might actually make amazing memories. Now, imagine in that class, you have a group of friends that you probably plan a weekend get together, like a TGIF stuff with them. You can actually make amazing memories on them, on that event, on that getaway, even if it's just for a small little time. Nothing fancy, you just want to get along with friends, you guys get to play games. You might even make better memories if you plan, maybe want to plan a very big event or like a big outing, because maybe your expectation for that big outing was too high and you ended up jeopardizing it because you put too much pressure on yourself. You see what I'm saying? You don't need to force these memories to happen. Like, they are going to happen when they want to happen. And sometimes you're not actually going to make memories probably watching TV or going through TikTok and Instagram on your phone, but that period of time, it's okay to waste a few hours. Like I said, few, because I do it. I'm not giving this advice, but like, you understand what I mean? It's okay to waste a few hours and here and there just doing that, as long as you're making sure you're also doing something positive with your time. Because especially when you have the energy to do so, you can't just be walking throughout and you don't really have time to just relax. And you know, it's in your control, and this is where memories can also come from. Because randomly I saw something randomly one day, and there's nothing to worry about that. Naturally, memorable moments happen when you're trying to do positive things in your life, or at least when you're trying to, not as much as you can remember negative things though. And even if you're trying, you're failing, that's amazing. Because another fear I think we have around our mortality is the fact that we are not doing anything big with our lives. I've had that fear, I've had that pressure to leave a mark on the world that will probably end up in the history books. I've had that pressure of seeing, that fear of seeing my mates do things that I'm supposed to be doing at their age, or have this fear that, hey, I am not being seen in this world. I am not doing any single thing I'm supposed to do. My mates are making it big. They're earning this. They have nice relationships. Their boyfriends love them. They do this. They go out. And I'm just there like a chicken, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people feel like they're a failure of a human being if they don't do something big, if they don't win big in life. I'm not saying you should not win big in life, but you know what I mean? Do something big. Yeah, but the truth is, whether or not you're famous or you're ending up in the history books, it does not really matter. I get that feeling, you know, we have one life, we have to make it big. YOLO, you only live once, so just go fucking nuts. And we know we want to make it big, but I think striving for this sort of thing is like, it's like cutting down the wrong tree of your life. If you're going to end up doing something, you know, big and noteworthy, there's a great chance that that could actually happen. It's not impossible at all, but I think that the motivation should not be something, being noteworthy for something super famous or something world-changing. I think the goal should be more specific to you. Like, let's say you're a designer and you're like, or you're an artist and you're like, I want to make this nice designs or paintings that make people feel good. And even if I don't get recognized for it or end up in history book, that's not my business. I don't know if you think about these famous artists. I have a feeling that they were not as famous as they were in their time. They died before their names got into the history books. I don't know. Come to think of it. I don't know if you're getting what I'm trying to say. Or let's say oh, I'm really big into science. I want to invent this science thingy. You know what I'm saying? Like, the goal should be to do something that impacts the world in a positive way, whether or not your name is attached to it. So whether or not your name is attached to it, you probably want to do something that impacts in a positive way. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't think it's a very positive thing to associate your success with becoming famous from something positive that you did for the world. Like, probably it seemed like a wrong intent, but it can actually lead us to do things that are not genuine to ourselves, like, because we are trying to make it big in life. And then, you know, it does not really matter, because there is so much to life. I don't know, I keep saying you're trying to make it big, but I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I keep thinking of, like, you saying, oh, because I want people to know me, I want my name to trend, I want to be so viral. There's so much to life than that. Because I would argue somebody who was a very, very big person, like I said, these painters, this known artist we know, they were just somebody small in their community, and probably people did not really know about them. And funny enough, they died, and that's when people say getting to know about them. So you don't really need to be famous or plastered in Guinness World of Records because you want to make a good impact in the world. You can actually have that impact that just spans around you. It's invaluable. You don't really need to go so worldwide or go to the Grammys or go to the O2 Arena in order to feel like, hey, I did something. Everybody, look at me. I made an impact in my life. Something like that. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. So I kind of understand that this pressure to do something memorable, to make everybody remember me, is quite understandable, but you might be missing the point. I think the goal should just be to do as much good in your life as you possibly can. And whether it gets to the whole world or just you or one person, that's enough. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how many people it reaches, as long as you do good in your life in some way. You can be proud of that. I think because of this pressure, people end up doing bad things as a result of wanting to be so memorable and everybody get to know me on a mass scale. Because these guys are not acting genuinely, they're not behaving genuinely and out of the kindness of the heart. You listen to news, you see videos of YouTubers, TikTokers who went viral by actually doing bad, and just because they want to go viral so that people will, hey, this is what this guy is known for. But then it's not really a good thing. It's probably a bad thing. And sometimes these guys lose their life in the process. So why do you have to get to lose your life just because you're trying to become so memorable, like want to fit into this pressure of, hey, I have to be viral, I need everybody to get to know me, and you end up not acting on the kindness of your heart? And that's not the right idea, because if you do things out of the genuineness of your heart, you do these things because you believe in them, and you do them because it makes you feel good to do them, then any other thing will follow. It may impact one person, it may impact the whole world, it may not even impact anybody but yourself. It doesn't matter if it's coming. It doesn't matter if it's coming from your heart. It's genuine. And that's the most important thing. Because you never know if you're going to do something big in your life. You may not even know. It may happen after you die. Like I said about being like the painter. The point is that you just do these things out of the genuineness of your heart. And you're making the most of your life. And even though people don't see it, even though people don't get to hear about it, it's not your control. You are doing this to feel good for yourselves. Even if in your tiny little space you do things that are invaluable, it's for yourself. All you're striving to do is genuine things rather than big things. And another feeling I'm going to talk about is that a lot of us experience when we're trying to talk about our mortality is the feeling that nothing matters. It can be actually hard sometimes not to torture yourself with thoughts of, oh, we all die anyways, so who cares? Who cares about anything? I remember back then in school, I had this mindset that if I perish, I perish. Sometimes I have about 4,000 naira in my account, and I just choose to spend that money that same day. And I tell myself, if I perish, I perish. It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's my life. Like, I struggle with this a lot of times because I'm trying to struggle with something in life, and I'm like, why am I even trying to work it? Like, why am I trying to go through this? Because the end point is that I'm going to die. Like, why can't I just push this shit aside and don't even deal with it? Like, why can't I just stop working hard and just lay on my bed all day sleeping and watching TV and try not to accomplish anything? Why can't I just give up, basically? Like, can I just give up and just rot away for the rest of my life? Because nothing truly matters anyways. Because I'm actually going to die, you guys. You know what I mean? But the truth is that this kind of talk, self-talk, is harmful. It's harmful, and it invalidates how large and substantial our lives feel to ourselves. And it's not fair to us, because every single individual on this planet deserves to feel and experience the weight of their existence. The fact that you are existing on this world, you need to experience it, you need to feel it, you deserve it, because you were placed on this earth for a reason. And I think we can actually probably agree that the world in our head feels too big to us. There's a statement, keep being, may your delulu come true, Lulu. So you have this delusional universe, and it's quite big, it's massive than the one you're living in. It's all our problems, anxieties, everything feels huge to us because it's in our world. We have this unique world in our head, in our mind, that only we can see. It's filled with all our pressures, all our anxieties, all our dreams, all our thoughts, emotions. And the special thing is, we are the only ones that can actually experience this thing. And when I'm finding myself being obsessed with the fact that everybody is going to die, nothing really matters. And I remind myself, no. Because in my brain, in my little space, my little head space, it does not really matter. But then, it actually matters. Because it matters to me right now. It does matter. I care about this stuff that is going on in my mind. And it feels important to me. All my imaginations, all my thoughts, all my dreams. I really, really put much seriousness into caring about them, into making them feel mattered, if that's a word. So yes, these things really matter to me. And so it's not true that nothing really matters, because right now, in the moment, I'm feeling this thing, this feelings of importance, so it's real. You know, we might actually be living in a world of 7, 8, 9 billion people, and everybody has their own individual little world in their mind, and it may make my world feel smaller, but the existence of my little world has nothing to do with other people. So everything, all my anxieties, they're real and important to me. And even though I know I'm going to die one day, it does not matter. Because right now, in this moment, I'm being alive, and I care about the things that are important to me, and I'm going to honor that. I think reminding yourself of this can be so powerful. I have a friend, I call her the affirmation queen. This is someone that walks up to the mirror every morning and tells herself, girl, you're good, you're powerful, you're beautiful, you're so unique. I don't know why it sounds funny to me, but it's a very, very good thing, and I want to adopt it. But that thing, I've always been insecure of looking at myself in the mirror. I've had that from when I was a young age. I had this, that's a story for another day. But lately, I'm trying to really look myself in the mirror and remind myself of these positive things, and tell myself these things, and not wait for someone to tell me these things. So I think reminding yourself of all this is so powerful, that whether you're questioning yourself whether or not this has a purpose, because your death is inevitable, obviously. It's like, yeah, I'm going to die anyways. But in this very moment, this feels important. This feels important because I'm here, and I'm going to honor that feeling. On the other hand, you can look at the fact that, hey, we're all going to die, so nothing really matters. It's a really positive thing. It's like a comforting thing. But in moments where you find yourself taking things too seriously and having the weight of the world in your imagination, the world that you've actually built in your tiny head, you know that the weight of that world becomes too heavy and it's like a pressure. And you're like, babe, calm down. I think I'm carrying too much here. And it can actually be painful. Feeling like you won't handle the weight of the whole world. Guy, just relax. Remind yourself that, yes, nothing really matters because we all die. It's kind of comforting. Now, don't get it twisted with what I'm trying to explain, because in as much as this is true, in as much as our lives feel large, feel important to us, it all matters at the same time. It can be sort of comforting to us at times when we are thinking too rigidly. And sometimes our mortality reminds us that even as much as things are serious, they are not as serious as we feel them to be. There are other people living at the same time as us. All of us are going to die. Our problems are not as big as we feel they are. It's interesting how I try not to... I don't know. It's interesting how I tend to not really care about some kind of things. I try to contradict both together. And in my mind, I think I've been able to see both sides of that coin. And now, we're coming to the end of the podcast, but there's one more thing we have to talk about, and this is the mortality of the people we love, because it's something huge. It's something that is very huge, and when it comes, we don't know how we're going to accept it. So, I know I've been talking about dealing with the thoughts around your own death. That's the half of it. But then there's another half, which is dealing with the potential death of people that you love and care about. Like, I find out that I'm actually so concerned with other people dying than I am with myself. Dying, because there are a lot of people that I rely on, that people that I love, people who support me, who are a foundation for me. They keep me solid, you know, they keep me sane. And in some ways, it feels like at times it can be so hard not to really worry about it, but the well-being of people that we love when they are not there, I feel like I feel out of control. I feel to some extent of my life, because I'm the one living it. I'm present in it, in my life. There are no surprises for me. I'm here in my body, so I know what's going on. But with people I love, sometimes they're another planet across me. They're like away from me. I remember when I was younger, in my childhood days, anytime I'm coming back home from school, from church or somewhere, and I see dark clouds moving towards my direction or moving in front of me, I have this fear that something bad is going to happen to somebody I love. Probably it's always my family members. I'm always scared that probably something wrong is going to happen, like maybe death is looming around the corner. And I start freaking out, like, it's because of the fact that I have no control of that situation. I start freaking out, like, oh my god, I have not talked to this person. I have not greeted this person. We've not had a discussion, like, did they get hurt? Did they get in an accident? Did they die? And weird amount of times, these fears of mine sometimes come true. In as much as they don't get to die, but they can get hurt. And it can be so overwhelming, and the only way I could have been able to remedy this fear and this pain is to try to convert my fear into love and appreciation and gratitude. And I know it sounds like, Dora, it's a fucking cliche, like, shut the fuck up. But then, it's unrealistic, I know, but it's not, because every time I find myself worrying about somebody that I care about and I feel like I need in my life, I can just send a message to that person, like, hey, how you doing? Like, whatever, how you doing? And internally, while I'm waiting for them to respond to me, in my mind, I'm like, oh God, I just hope they're okay. I hope they're doing good. I know that most times I don't really have the time to check up on people, but when I genuinely remember, I make sure I drop a hi or a hey, because my thoughts of all these things could actually be wrong. I'm trying to mindfully replace this, like, all the ways that they would have gotten hurt, the amount of time I've been thinking about it. I try to replace these thoughts with fear. I know it sounds really ridiculous, but it's just the way that I used to deal with my anxiety around people. I try to care. I care about dying. Like, the way I care about dying in terms of other people, not even for myself. It's so hard because my brain wants to be scared. I want to worry about people. It wants to just know if they're okay at any moment. But I can't actually live like that. I can't live with that fear. So I'm trying to replace this fear with gratefulness. And in a way, it kind of like calms me down, because I found out over time that I've kind of gotten better at switching my mindset from this feeling to that feeling. And another thing we worry about again is if we're spending enough time with the people around us. Okay, so on this last thing I just talked about, it's really, really hard because you have to kind of like strike a balance in the way, you know, you can't spend every single day with all the people that you love. It's just unrealistic. But what you can do is to like make a priority to spend time with people that you love. And even if it's not the most convenient thing, because most times we're not in the mood to call all the people we care about. We're not even in the mood to hang out with them. You know, I think we are selfish with our time in a way. And we should be, because we kind of have to be in order to get stuff done sometimes. But then it's all about finding a balance and like finding the time and finding the energy to give to these people that we love and care, so that we can actually relax and like feel less concerned whether or not we're spending enough time with them. And most times it does not really have to be physical time, you know, it can be giving them a call, sending them a text, because the amount of energy to give to these people is in your control. So you need to find the perfect balance. I don't know, like I've hit my brain limit, I won't lie. I've exceeded the minutes I'm supposed to use for this podcast, and I'm turning off, my brain is shutting off. But I would say for the last few years of my life, discovering mortality for the first time, it has brought a lot of anxiety to me. I've been having really, really bad anxiety in general. And this whole discovery has been so painful for me. But I would say it's getting a lot better. And I think all the things that I mentioned can be really, really helpful and powerful. And I hope that if there's anybody out there who's kind of dealing with this new anxiety, that's dealing with this anxiety about death, I hope some of these things can actually help you. The truth is, death is one of those things that's actually out of our control. We can't hide that. It's hard to not feel anxious. It's hard to not feel overwhelmed about it, because we can't actually control it. And let me tell you, anything you can't control as humans, man, it freaks you out like mad, because we're like, I can't do anything about it, so what am I supposed to do? Like, I know, you know. It's like there's this overwhelming feeling of worrying about it, but knowing that you can't do anything about it. It's such an awful cycle to be in mentally, where you're going in that circle and you're worrying about it, and then you're like, oh, what am I going to do about it? I can't help it. I can't help myself from worrying. I can't stop myself from worrying about it. And you're like, there's nothing I can do about it. But then there are things you can do. And most times it's a combination of like being grateful for life as it is, like taking this pressure off yourself and trying to go easier on yourself, because sometimes you need to have this discipline to prove to yourself that you can and your life is in control, and you are also trusting the process too. Yes, I know life is unfair. Things don't always work out the way you want to, but sometimes going with the flow is better than overly controlling things and forcing things. Okay guys, for reals, I'm actually done. For reals now, I'm done. So we've come to the end of this episode. This is me making an exploration on mortality, getting to tell you that it's not about the end, it's about how we choose to live. So share your thoughts with me on social media. You can share them on Spotify here, because there's a platform for you to send a message to me. And until our next conversation, please, please, please keep embracing the beauty of life. I'll be seeing you sometime. I'll see you in the next episode anyways. And I'm done. I'm excited to talk to you again. Unless, of course, if the inevitable happens. But then, unfortunately, you have to listen to something else. But there's a pretty good chance it's not going to happen. But yeah, I'll see you in the next episode. I'm done for reals. I really, really love, I appreciate every one of you. Thank you for listening to this point. Please share with your friends. Listen at in all podcasting platforms. I'm trying to enrich myself. I'm giving myself this advice. It's like I'm talking to myself, you know, guys, like, you know the vibes. I'll see you soon. Have a lovely week, rest or something like that. But yeah, I'll be seeing you soon. Enjoy, embrace your life, and keep living your life to the fullest. I still remain your girl, Adora, and I'm signing out from Conversations with Dora. Oh, that's so cliche. Anyways, bye guys.